Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
Anybody be glad to be back in the house of God here in 2025? Come on. Wow, man, we are so excited to have everybody here. So excited to see you guys, man. We, you know, every year after our Christmas service, we take kind of a Sabbath for all of us and our volunteers because, you know, serving every Sunday throughout the year is a great thing, but it's also work now.
Everybody needs rest, y'all. Don't act like you don't need rest.
And everybody needs some rest. And
everybody needs rest.
Y'all, I don't know if y'all realize this, but it takes about 30, 35 people to make this happen on Sundays.
And we have
about 35 volunteers.
Right, it takes more than 35.
Yeah, but at a minimum, 35. Not to mention all the other things that we do, worship nights and food pantry and all the other, you know, things that are going on. So it's just an opportunity to kind of take a Sabbath to reset, renew, refresh, and get ready for the new year. And also, as part of the volunteers, we also have an executive team here. Some people may not know who they are. So, Pastor Karen, would you take a minute and just, you know, honor our executive team for a minute?
Yes. So we have an executive team made up of some seasoned leaders that Pastor Bob and I have known for many, many, many years. And let me just say this. They help us keep church moving. They help us plan the calendar. They work alongside us very closely in planning out everything that goes on here at Pursuit Church. And they don't get a break. You know, they're right with us all the time, all year long. They don't really ever get a break. So I just want you guys to know who they are so that when you see them, you can hug them. And also for you to be specifically praying for them, praying that they don't get weary in doing well, because the work of the ministry is a lot. God gives us strength. He gives us perseverance, but we need prayer too. So the first person I want you to know is Belen De Leon. Belen is our events director. Yeah, give her some props. Everything that goes on here, all the special events, Christmas, Easter, Father's Day, Mother's Day, baptisms, child dedications, all the events, family movie night that we had last year, team night, all of those events, Belen and her team put those on for you guys. And then we have Luciana Perez. She's out of town this week visiting her new grandbaby.
Yes, Luciana, give it up.
Yeah. Luciana is our next gen director. She is over the kids' men, and that includes curriculum development, check-in, all the fun activities that your kids are doing over there. Luciana and her team do that for y'all. Then we have our connections director, Terry Silva.
Terry Silva.
All you guys have to know Terry.
Everybody knows Terry, right?
She is over all the teams that welcome you and get people plugged in here at Pursuit Church. She oversees anything that has to do with that, getting people connected here. Because, you know, you don't do life alone. That's how this works. We do life as a community. So Terry's over all that. The greeters, the ushers, facility ops team, which, by the way, shout out to our facility ops team today. We had a broken water main. Thank you, Saws. And they fixed it as best they could to make sure you guys got in here without being dripping wet from the knee down. So shout out to Facility Ops. That's Terry's area. And she's also actually handling all the social media for our church right now. So if you feel led or you're good at social media, see Terry Silva about that.
I know
that.
We got some social media people out there. Come on.
Then we have our worship director, Deborah Mejia. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Woo.
Deborah's a... There you go. She's a true worshiper from the heart, y'all. Deborah oversees anything that has to do with music, sound, lights, tech, the slides. That is her area, the worship team. They all work with Deborah to make sure worship service happens here, even on Sundays and our prayer and worship nights. And then finally, we have Michael Mejia. Michael Mejia.
Yeah, give it up for Michael. Come on.
He's amazing. Mighty man of God. He works right alongside Pastor Bob and I in preaching, teaching, and discipleship. So that's our executive team. And there's so much that goes into what happens here on Sundays. So by the end of the year, all the volunteers and us, your pastors, we all need a little rest. So we take a Sabbath. We need some time to get away, get alone, and get quiet before the Lord. Just reset and listen for what God has for us for next year.
And let me tell you what, we had a great 2024. Yeah. Can you just clap for 2024, what God did here in your life and in the life of Pursuit Church? We had so many people that came to know the Lord, salvations, baptisms. We launched our discipleship group called Building Blocks, which was a blessing. How many people came to Building Blocks last year at some point? Yeah.
That was really good.
It was great. We had over 20 children dedicated to the Lord this past year in this church. Our food pantry served over 1,600 people. Come on, can we
thank God for that? That's a big deal, y'all.
We served over 1,600 people, and our weekly Sunday attendance has gone up dramatically in the last year. Come on, y'all are all part of that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Filling those seats.
In 2024, God has done some amazing things in and through your church here at Pursuit Church. And we have so much more. We believe God has so much more. So before we get into that, would you just pray with me right now? Heavenly Father, God, we come before you right now. God, we want to first thank you. Thank you for what you've done in our lives individually. Thank you for your blessings and provision for this church. Thank you for all that you have already done. God, you are so good. But Father, we know that you are a God of multiplication. We know that you are a God that's progressive. And we believe you have so much more for this church and for us in it. So God, will you just prepare our hearts today to receive the word and the message that you have planted in our hearts so that we can, in unity, move forward in this new year in all of the things that you want to see happen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray it and we believe it. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So today is Vision Sunday, and it's a really special Sunday. First, it's our first Sunday back for the new year, but Vision Sunday, in case some of you guys don't know what that's all about, it's when us as your pastors, we cast vision for the upcoming year, right? We basically share with you what God has laid on our hearts that he has as towards the direction for our church for 2025. Now, back in 2021, I have to make sure I say that right because I'm a 1900s baby. So in 2021, when God called Pastor Bob and I to plant this church, he gave us the vision for Pursuit Church. That's connect to Jesus and make a difference. That is the reason that Pursuit Church exists. In case you wonder, that's why we're here.
Hey, and listen, that vision hasn't changed. But how God wants to accomplish it will change over time. You see, because God is progressive. He doesn't change, but he is always moving. Did you hear what I said? God never changes, but he is always moving. And we want to stay in step with what God wants to do. Yeah. Right? So toward the end of every year, Pastor Karen and I take some very intentional time to go before the Lord and really just seek his direction for the next year.
Right, right. And this year, the thing that God has shared with us that we want to share with you today is the direction for 2025 for Pursuit Church. And the focus is going to be on becoming a living sacrifice for God.
And can we say that again?
Becoming a living sacrifice for God. That's basically discipleship. Becoming and growing more in God. And it's based on Romans 12:1. So did y'all bring your paper Bibles to church today?
Paper Bibles. Come on now.
I hope y'all brought y'all's paper Bibles. I got mine. This is my faithful Bible. It's got big words. Jesus's words are in red and the dog ate the corner of it. You see that? So our dog should
our
be good and holy.
Our dog eats the word of God. Wow.
Although I'm not quite sure it's done any good, but God's word does not return void. There you go. One day he will learn to sit and stop eating stuff. So anyway, open up your Bibles. Romans chapter 12. Romans is the New Testament. It's after Acts, before Corinthians. So we're going to start and we're going to read it together. Romans 12:1. Are you guys there? Say, I'm there. This is participatory church.
Come on now.
It says, thank you. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters. He says the word urge. That's a strong word. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Wow. So what does it mean to be a living sacrifice? Like, what's the point of all that?
Well, you know, when you look at that, I think you have to start with the biblical definition of sacrifice, right? So sacrifice, hear me now, is an act Sacrifice is an act. It's not a thought. It's not an idea. It's not a wish. It's the act of offering something valuable to God as an expression of worship or of thanksgiving. Now, becoming living sacrifices, it all begins when we turn our lives over to Jesus. It's called salvation. That's the beginning of becoming a living sacrifice.
And basically, it's when you get to that point that you know you need a Savior. That's the point where you can receive salvation from Jesus. You got to be to that point where you know you need a Savior, that you need forgiveness, and that you're going to need some help to walk that life out. So you decide in that moment to hand over the reins of your life. And I mean, every single area of your life, you say, here you go, Jesus, take it and lead me. And then you receive Jesus as your Savior and you make a conscious decision to let him guide you and lead you from that point forward.
And you know, when that happens, two beautiful things occur. First of all, your sins are forgiven. Anybody ever so grateful for that? When you accept Jesus, your sins are forgiven.
Thank you, Lord.
And then here's the thing. Then Jesus steps in and steps up to actually become the leader of your life.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. In order to be led, that means you have to follow.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah.
And this is what it means to become a living sacrifice to God. You're willing to leave everything behind to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
You see, following Jesus doesn't require a suitcase. And in fact, following Jesus is much the opposite of that.
Wait, say that again.
Following Jesus does not require a suitcase. It's actually just the opposite, because guess what? You're going to have to actually leave some things behind.
Amen.
To follow Jesus. Come on now. Come on now. And listen, we know, I know, Jesus knows that's hard to do sometimes. Come on now. You know, you hear a podcast or a message, or you read in the Word about all the blessings that God has for you. And yeah, you want that, right? Anybody want that besides me? But when it comes time to let go of some things, it's kind of a struggle. But here's the reason it's a struggle. It's a struggle when we don't see it as a chance to actually sacrifice those things to God. That's when we see it as a struggle.
You know, sometimes we can even look at it like, wow, God's taking something away from us. Like, man, God wants to take this away from me. Y'all, God doesn't take anything from you.
So good.
He's not going to take anything from you.
Come on.
But when we release some things to him, some things that aren't even meant to be part of our life, when we're willing to release those to God, then that's when he will come in and give us something better.
Right. Amen.
You know, turn to chapter 3 of Genesis, first book of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 3, there's a story. And it's when sin originally entered the world. This is a significant story, y'all, because this is where it all started. This is where sin came into the world. It's when Adam and Eve did exactly what God told them not to do.
Right.
How many parents in here can totally relate to that? Kids doing what you tell them not to do, right? Well, God's kids, Adam and Eve, did exactly what he said not to do. In other words, they sinned, right? And the minute they did that, it's really significant that you hear this. The minute they disobeyed God, instantly shame came upon them. Shame is the first thing. You know why you know that? Because it says that they covered things up. They started covering themselves up. So let's read it. Let's read it together.
Yeah, let's actually look at that. Turn in your Bibles, Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, the first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 3, we're going to be in verse 7. And this is what it says. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves.
Look, hold up. I want y'all to look at that again. We kind of just floated through that. It says, the moment they sinned, their eyes were opened and they realized they were naked.
Yeah.
Okay, they'd been naked all along, y'all.
That's right.
Think about that.
Yeah.
God created them for each other. There was no need for clothing in the Garden of Eden. It was just Adam and Eve and God, right? And the animals. They had been naked all along. But the moment they sinned, that's when they became ashamed, shame of their nakedness. And that's wild, y'all, because they were created for each other, specifically for each other. God created the man for the woman specifically. They knew what it was all about. They'd never been embarrassed before,
that's right.
But sin brought shame in.
Yeah.
In the blink of an eye, sin brought shame in, and they became ashamed of their bodies.
And see, that's what happens. Sin brings shame.
Yeah.
And that's what happened with them. Shame told them to cover up. And that's when they sewed those fig leaves together to cover themselves.
Fig leaves. Yeah, that's real good, right? Can you imagine? But look at God's response to what they did. Look at what he did. God knew what they did. He knew they disobeyed him. But he still felt compassion for them. He knew those little leaf outfits were going to dry up and fall apart. God knew that. I mean, come on. So God in his mercy, this is how merciful God is. This is how much he loves us, even when we disobey him. In his mercy, he gave them something better to cover themselves up with. Verse 21 says that the Lord made garments of skin. That's leather, y'all. For Adam and his wife, and he clothed them despite their sin.
Wow. God gave them something better.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. God's mercy and goodness didn't stop there. See, because what happened is Adam and Eve started kind of blaming each other and arguing and, you know, pointing the blame game. But guess what? God didn't do that. God didn't point a finger at them and blame them. In fact, in verse 21, it says that God cursed the devil. Not Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
He cursed the devil. God spoke directly to the devil, and he cursed the devil, but he never cursed Adam and Eve.
Right.
Now, God did tell Adam and Eve, look, there's going to be some consequences to your sin. Your life's going to get a little bit harder here, okay? But God never cursed them. Remember that. God never cursed them.
He cursed our enemy, y'all.
That's right.
That's a good God.
Yeah.
That's a
Amen.
Good God.
Come on.
Can we give a hand clap for
yes.
God? He curses our enemy.
God's handling
not
our
us.
Battles. Come
even
on.
Even when we sin, even when we fall short, God is not about that. He's not about cursing us. He's merciful, y'all. He's so merciful. And if you don't believe me, he woke you up this morning.
Oh, yeah.
You may say, oh, no, Pastor, I set my alarm. I was diligent. I got up on time. Okay, well, that's real nice. But you know what? God woke you up.
Right.
Let's just be real here.
Amen.
Last night, that could have been your last moments on this planet. But God woke you up because he's not done yet.
That's right.
He's got mercy for you. He's got a plan
yes,
for
come
you.
On.
Did you know that the Bible says that God is the one who numbers your days?
Yeah.
Psalm 139. God numbers your days, and he numbered them before you were even here.
That's right.
That's how much God loves you. He created you with a plan and a purpose. So he woke you up this morning, made you think somebody had coffee going. He woke you up. Because he has a plan for your life, and that plan starts with salvation.
That's right.
It yeah. starts with salvation, a chance. Salvation is a chance for you to surrender all your stuff to Jesus and then let him take over and lead you.
Amen. And make no mistake, Jesus wants to lead you. Because listen, he wants to lead you into a life of blessedness. He has the blessed life. We preached that a while ago. Jesus has a blessed life. He wants to lead you in free from shame, free from addiction, free from anxiety and fear and all the heaviness that the world puts on us and that sin brings.
Yeah.
Jesus wants to free you from that. And you see, when you truly follow Jesus, when we learn how to truly follow Jesus, then our life won't be filled with stuff like that so much anymore. You know, we'll enjoy the blessings of what real love looks like. Not those counterfeit relationships that the world has or that we fall into. No, I'm talking about real love. I'm talking about real joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You see, that list I just read, those are the fruits of a life of following Jesus. Those are the fruits. That's what you can have. As you follow Jesus, you know, listen, you get upset and things don't go your way. Maybe somebody cuts you off in traffic and sets you off. Maybe you get all mad and ticked off and upset. Well, you know what? When Jesus is leading your life more, you're not going to react like that. And if you do, it's not going to last as long because Jesus is going to correct your heart through the Holy Spirit, bring conviction to get your heart back in the right place, in the place of goodness and grace and where God wants it to be. Listen, you don't have to live as a slave to addiction because through the Holy Spirit, you can have something called self-control. And it's that self-control leading your life that can allow you to beat that addiction. You see, you don't have to live that way. When you decide in your heart to follow Jesus and become a true follower I guarantee you, your life will begin to change. Don't take my word for it.
Yeah, the
God
key,
says that.
Yeah, and the key to that is being a true follower. Like, you're not playing around anymore. Like, you really mean it. You really want God in your life. You know, I'm going to say it again. God is so merciful. Amen. He's so merciful. In our sin, he relentlessly pursues us. He doesn't stop. He keeps pursuing. You know, no matter what you've done, where you were last night, what you were doing this morning, God relentlessly pursues you because he's giving you a chance to say yes to Jesus. To salvation, so that Jesus can lead you into all the goodness that God has for you. So in light of God's mercy, what's going to be your response? What should your response be? Well, Romans 12:1 tells us, because it says, in light of God's mercy. So in response to God's infinite mercy, it says we should offer our lives, our entire lives, our bodies, and everything that we do with them, how we think, how we feel, what we do, we need to offer all of that as a living sacrifice.
Amen.
That's
so good.
And that's part of our worship to God. Amen. When you live your life letting God run it, that's a sacrifice.
Amen. Amen.
You're sacrificing what you want to do.
Yeah.
That's a living sacrifice. Amen. You know, the other day, Pastor Bob and I, would say over a week ago, we had this long, drawn-out discussion about what true worship is. That's how it is in our house. Sometimes we get a little loud because I'm very loud, okay? And he's more understated. Thank you, Jesus. But we get a little,
wild.
Yeah, that's why it works, right? We get a little wild, and we had this long conversation. We were like, what is really true worship? So he's going to Scripture, and I'm going to Scripture. It was like Bible drills or something in our reading room, and we decided, you know, there are so many ways and methods of truly worshiping God, right? There's so many different ways. But at the end of the day, true worship is a heart posture towards God.
That's so good. Say that again. Come on.
True worship. Worshiping in God from spirit and truth comes from your spirit, comes from a heart posture that you recognize just how good God is. And so he is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of all praise. And you know what? When you have that heart posture towards God, it doesn't matter where you are. You're going to worship, right? You could be in the car, driving down the road, praise you, Jesus. People are looking at you like, what's wrong with her? What's wrong with me is I got the Holy Ghost. What's wrong with you, right?
Ooh, come on.
You praise God whether you're in the car, on the bus, on the job, changing a dirty diaper. You still worship God. That doesn't affect it. Even if you have worship music on or not, even if the worship music's too loud, maybe somebody's off key, maybe they're out of step, whatever. That doesn't affect your worship. When you are worshiping from a place of a heart posture for God, none of that matters. None of that matters. Because you're worshiping in spirit and truth. And not any of that is going to impact the love you are pouring out on our merciful, good, good God.
Amen. And here's the other thing to remember about worship. God wants you to worship him in every part of your life.
Yeah.
Not just some. You see, God loves to hear you singing and praising on a Sunday morning. God loves that. But you know what else he loves just as much? He loves it when you bring your offerings. He loves your tithes because you're bringing back to him what's already his. That's a form of worship.
Yeah.
He loves when you comfort somebody who's hurting. He loves when you set aside time to read his word. Do you see? All of this is worship to God. All of it.
Yeah.
All of it. God loves it when you share with others what he's doing in your life. And you talk about his goodness and you brag on God. That's worshiping God. You see, all of this is worship to God.
And you know, when you're serving here in God's house, whether you're pouring coffee, signing somebody up for food pantry serving, you know, playing with the babies over there, or teaching the children about Jesus, when you are serving in God's house, there's no better place to be serving him.
Amen.
You could go and save the whales all day long and twice on Sunday, but when you are in God's house serving the people he's calling in those doors, that is worship, y'all.
That's good. Come on.
That's true worship. That's near to his heart. This is his house. That is near and dear to his heart. Do you know that Jesus Christ gave his life up for the church? So when you're in here serving, whatever you're doing, that's worship.
Amen.
That's a sacrifice. You are literally sacrificing what you wanted to do somewhere else to be here, to serve the people God's bringing in the doors. He loves that. That is so beautiful to God. You know, when you think about it, there are so many real practical ways that we could be worshiping God that we kind of may miss it or overlook it, right? Like, let's look at your decision making. Decision making is one of those very personal things, right? Like, I'm gonna figure this out. This is what I know how to do. This is what I think I need to do. I'm gonna make it. And you don't really give it much thought to bring God into that. But when you do, that's worshiping Him. Because you are putting Him in His proper place first. You are seeking His ways first. You are seeking first His kingdom and not your own, what you want to do. Amen. You're sacrificing what you want so that God can tell you what you need to be doing.
Yeah. Amen.
And you know what? You next level it when you don't take a step forward until you have peace from God about what you want to do.
Amen.
You seek His word. What does His word say about what I want to do? Because you don't want to be one place, one second, one anything away from God's will. That is true worship.
Amen. Hey, listen, even when you invite someone to church, do you know that that's a very practical way to worship God? Because when you do that, you're giving someone an opportunity to come to meet, to know the God that you know, to know the God that's had such an impact on your life. And now can have an impact on their life. Inviting someone to come to know God is, I think, one of the greatest forms of worship there is. Another word for it is evangelism. And we're supposed to evangelize because everybody needs to hear about this God that we love and that wants to love you and others. Remember that. That's a very practical form of worship. You see, all of these very practical, everyday sacrifices are what real worship looks like to God. It's not just singing a song on a Sunday.
Yeah.
I hope you see that. Worshiping God is with every part of your life, everything that you do, all of it, your whole life, not just parts of it.
It is. It is. You know, Brandon, if you would come, we're going to kind of wind it down here, but I just want us to think about it. We're at the beginning of a new year, right? We're starting a new year, and we want to start it off right. I don't know how you are, but I always start a new year wanting to do something different. Like, I want something better.
Yes.
I look back over the previous year, and I think about, man, what was a hit? What was a miss? What do I want to change? I mean, most people want something better, right? You go into a new year, and you want something different.
So, look, the truth is, I think everybody in here, you came in here today.
Yeah.
Seeking or looking for something different from God. I hope you did.
Yeah.
I hope you did. But let me ask you this. If you're asking God to do something He's never done before for you, are you willing to do something for Him that you've never done before?
That's good.
Think about that. You're wanting God to do things in your life right now this year that maybe He's never done before. Ask yourself the question, are you willing to do something different that you've never done before?
You know, sometimes we get stuck. We get stuck and, you know, we want change and we know there's some things that we desperately need from God. We need to change some things, but it can be so, so hard. It's like you just get on this hamster wheel. You're on a hamster wheel and you're going round and round and round in circles. And you know, like, you're done. You want something different. You want to change. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a bad habit. Maybe it's, you know, a way of the way you're living your life. You're searching for something outside of God, and you know, you need something new and fresh, but you want off of the crazy train, but you can't find the exit ramp. And usually the beginning of the year is when you start to really see it and you start to really realize it. Let me just tell you, friend, life is not meant for us to be on a hamster wheel. We are created in the image of God Almighty. We are His people. We weren't meant to live striving and reaching and fighting and struggling and stressing over things in our lives that aren't even supposed to be there in the first place. That's not how God created us. You weren't meant to be striving all the time. And I know that your heart knows that. That's resonating with somebody right now deep in their soul. Man, God, there's a better way. And if you came in here today and you want something better from God, you want to change, you really want to change, well, guess what? God has changed for you. Right here, right now, in this moment, if you want to change some things, friend, let me just encourage you, release that. Don't white knuckle hold on to it anymore because you can't control things anymore. Let it go. Give it to God. Give him your past. There's nothing in your past that he don't know about already and that he can't redeem. Give him your past. Give him your right now. Whatever it is that's going on and you don't want any part of it anymore, give that to God. And then let Jesus guide your future. That's the way to start off this new year. And you know what? You don't have to do that alone. We're going to be right here walking it out with you, side by side. We're going to be encouraging you to do the hard stuff, to get uncomfortable. Get out of your comfort zone, because it's outside of your comfort zone where God can change things. Release it. Release whatever you're holding on to, whether it's control. Maybe you're just always trying to control the situation, control the outcome. You want to make sure everything's lined up just so. Man, that's stressful. I've lived that life. Let that go, friend. Maybe you're struggling with alcohol, drugs, bad relationships. Let them go, y'all. If they're bringing you guilt, shame, or destruction into your life, they're not meant for you. That's not what God has for you. He has peace, joy, real love. The kind of love that's not going to walk out the door at the first part of a problem. Real love. Someone who's going to walk with you towards the things of God. If that's what you want for this new year, you have a chance right now. I'll just ask everybody in the room, just close your eyes, bow your heads, and let's get still before the Lord. And I want to pray for us. Lord, we love you. We love you so much, God. We love you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for sending us Jesus to help us, Father, to give us something new for all the old, tattered, beat up, messed up stuff in our lives, Lord. So I pray right now, Holy Father, that you reach out and you touch hurting hearts. Touch addicted, troubled minds. Father, hearts that have been abused, that have been used. Lord, touch those hearts, Lord, and bring your healing into those spaces. Father, bring beauty for the ashes that are here today, Lord. Restore what the enemy stole. Restore what we freely gave up to the enemy, not really knowing what we were doing. Lord, you can bring restoration. You bring healing. You speak life. Father, speak life right now in this moment. Lord, we love you. We thank you for who you are. And we thank you for your mercy. God, thank you for your mercy. Your mercy. You don't give us what our sin deserves, Lord. Your mercy gives us good. We don't deserve it, Lord, but you give us mercy. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Father God, we just love you. We praise you because you are good. We love you, Father. And we thank you, Jesus. Lord, I ask your Holy Spirit right now in this moment to do what only you can do. Lead your people to Jesus. If there's somebody here today and you've never sacrificed your life, literally totally thrown it at the feet of Jesus, and you know that's what you really need right now. If you've never given your whole life to Jesus, you have a chance to do that right now, friend. You don't have to carry the weight of the life you're living anymore. God is here. The Holy Spirit is here, and he is calling you in to a right relationship. The only way to have that is by accepting Jesus as your Savior, asking him to be the Lord of your life. Maybe you're here today and you've already asked Jesus into your heart. You did it a while back, but somewhere along the way, you got out of step. You know, you got off track and you're you've got one foot in, one foot out. You know, you're trying to get back to God, but you're not sure. You're struggling. You're striving. There's so much stress and heaviness in your life. If that's you right now, friend, let that go. The Bible says there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. You're not being judged right now. You're being offered grace. You're being offered redemption. You're being offered a new life in Jesus Christ. He paid for your sin. He paid for your mistake on Calvary. And He wants you to receive that payment right now, right here today. And if that's you, all you have to do is say a simple prayer and mean it with your whole heart, and you will be saved. And it's a done deal. All you do is say this, and say it after me. If that's you, Lord, I repent of my sin.
I ask you to forgive me.
Wash me clean. Lord, I'm tired of trying to do things on my own. Take control of my life, Heavenly Father. I trust you. I surrender my life to you, Jesus. In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Yes.